Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
They're usually not pushing back against Jesus, not the Jesus of the Gospels, but they are pushing it back against what they've experienced. And sometimes that means that we have to change their minds a bit to let them know that they are welcome. So I want you to take your Bible this morning and turn to Luke's Gospel. We're going to read a majority, I'm going to read, you're going to follow along, of the fifth chapter of Luke's Gospel. I'm going to read, I'm going to comment, I'm going to teach. Several months ago, as I was reading this chapter in my own personal devotion, I try to read through an extensive amount of scripture every year. I read the New Testament usually once or twice, and I get through the Old Testament maybe every third year. As I read this, I started putting notes in my margin. Well, what you're going to hear this morning is mostly my notes. Those little phrases that I put in the margins, because I read this chapter and I saw a theme that was, I believe, brought out by the Holy Spirit about how Jesus made people feel welcome. Just to give you a little backstory, this is the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He is just beginning the call of the 12, and so we pick that up in the very first verse of chapter 5. Would you follow along as I read? One day as Jesus was preaching on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, it's also Peter, its owner, to push it out into the water. And so he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets for a catch of fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night, and we didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. A shout of help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish on the verge of sinking. Now, that's a lot of fish. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with them. His partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. The first thing I want you to see this morning is point one. If you have a bulletin, on the back is a note sheet. To those who are sinners, you are welcome. I want to go back to Peter's statement in verse 8. It says, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." I want to tell you something, folks. When something holy, pure, and powerful is around us, we feel our sinfulness and we fear. When something holy and pure and powerful is around us, we feel our sinfulness and we fear. Simon Peter wasn't sure what to do with this holy man, and he says, "Go away, Lord. I'm not worth being around." But you know what Jesus said? "No, Peter. Welcome. You are welcome here. Sinners are welcome." Not only does he say, "You are welcome here," he says, "Come follow me." You don't have to be perfect to follow Jesus. Jesus calls sinners. He says, "You're welcome." That's what he says to us today. To those who are sinners, you are welcome. The story goes on, starting in verse 12. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. This is a skin disease. It is a skin disease that was contagious of some type. Anyone who had the skin disease was not allowed to be in public with other people, at least not close enough that they might get the disease. They also were required by the Old Testament law to be crying out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean, to let people know that they had an unclean disease. These were people that were called unclean. But it says in one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy, and when the man saw Jesus, he bowed down with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. And Jesus did the unthinkable. He reached out and he touched him. No one would have touched that man. No one would have touched the unclean man. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, go to the priest, let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster. And vast crowds came to hear him preach and be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. Second point this morning. To those who are unclean, Jesus says, you are welcome. Jesus does not shy away from your uncleanness. Jesus is not appalled by it. He doesn't shy away from it. He is not put off by whatever the uncleanness is. Nowadays, we don't use unclean for diseases like they did in their day, but there is a social stigma about several things. And I think there's a lot of people that walk around feeling unclean. You might be addicted to substances. You might be addicted to internet porn. I have talked to men who will become transparent enough, one recently. And as he spoke about the fact that he fights it, but sometimes still falls, and his wife knows about it, you could just feel it on him, I'm unclean. He knows Jesus, he gets forgiven, but he feels unclean. But to those who are unclean, you're welcome. Jesus doesn't shy away from that. Maybe you struggle with a mental or an emotional disorder and it makes you feel unclean. You are welcome. Jesus doesn't, and the church shouldn't, reject you because of that which makes you feel unclean. Maybe you have been, or even someone listening right now, you are in prison. And the stigma of your crime and your prison time is all over you. You feel unclean. When that man said to Jesus, he knew Jesus could. He didn't ask if Jesus could heal him. He said, Lord, if you are willing. I think that's key in this passage. Are you willing? And Jesus said, I am willing. Be healed. I am willing to make you clean. I just want to speak that over someone either here today or listening electronically. As you look at your life and your uncleanness, Jesus is saying, I am willing to touch you, to make you clean. Years ago, a lady that I knew that was part of one of my former churches, she marvelously came to a relationship with Jesus Christ, was growing in her faith, but I found out after a period of time about something that she didn't speak much about. In fact, I'm not sure how many people knew. And it had to do with the big A word, not adultery. It's the other A word in our society, abortion. She was still dealing with the feeling that she was unclean because of the abortion. And it stayed with her. Even after her relationship with Jesus Christ, it stayed with her. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is willing. He still can cleanse you. The uncleanness or however you feel based on what took place in your life, Jesus says, no, you're welcome. Come, let me embrace you. Let me touch you. Let me heal you. Sometimes we read it in the scripture and it seems too good to be true. I'm really glad the ladies from Grace House Teen Challenge are here, and thank you for your testimony as to what God has done in your life. Stories can bring this home. And I want to show you about a 3-minute story that I heard recently, and so I've taken via video, and I have a story for you so that you can really see what Jesus does with those who are unclean. Let's watch.
One of my favorite examples of this in our church is a woman named Monica Halata. And Monica is an amazing mom, incredible wife. She serves people in the church passionately. I believe we have a picture of her and Matt, her husband. And if you look into her eyes, you see hope. You see joy. And that expression in her face is completely irrational for what she's experienced. If there's a person on planet Earth that deserves to hate the world, in my opinion, it's Monica. She grew up in a home where she endured abuse of every imaginable kind. She became kind of the poster child of the DHS system, foster home to foster home. The abuse continued. At a pretty young age, she was pulled into human trafficking, where she became a commodity for sale. She was beaten more times than she can remember, raped, objectified, sold. And there was even a moment, she was telling me the story, that she was in court for a crime, and a judge looked at her in the eye and said, "You are an utterly worthless human being." Everything in her life reinforced what that judge said. She is worth nothing. God disagreed. And somewhere along her journey, she encountered Jesus and his love and his compassion. And not only was she courageous enough to let God start to heal the bitterness and the wounds she had toward the men that had abused her all of her life, but she took her past misery and turned it into a divine ministry. In this church, to this day, she is leveraging her story to pull women into a life of hope and self-worth, to remind them that you are not worthless. You are the masterpiece of God. What do we know? What the enemy meant to destroy her, God will flip it. He does the opposite, and he turns it for good.
To the unclean this morning, and to those who feel unclean, Jesus said, "I am willing. You are welcome. You are welcome." LaVon, your testimony, you startled me. I, of course, knew nothing about you when you said, what was it, 17 years ago? I'm sorry? Over 20. Your drug dealer and your pimp dropped you on the doorsteps of Teen Challenge in Springfield, Missouri. You probably felt pretty unclean. And the hand of Jesus, "I'm willing. I'm willing. I am willing. Be healed, people. I am willing. I am willing." And then it goes on and it says, one day when Jesus was teaching, picking up in verse 17, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in Galilee and Judea as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. And some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowds. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. And then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, and this is such an odd statement when you first read it, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." He's paralyzed. "Your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." But Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or stand up and walk. And this is the Pastor Rick interpretation. If I was writing the scripture, I would have put in parentheses, pause. I think Jesus let that question linger. Now, guys, is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk? Of course, the crowd in there is going, well, stand up and walk. Yeah, of course it's... And then he goes, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. And everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, we have seen amazing things today. Once again, just like it's really point one over again, to the sinner, you are welcome. But Jesus is not just going to take care of healing your body, he's going to take care of healing your soul. You are forgiven. You are my child. You are welcome. You are welcome. And then starting in verse 27, later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax gatherer named Levi sitting in his tax collection booth. Follow me and be my disciple. Now that probably got a few gasps from the crowd. Let me explain, because without understanding the history of this, the history is this. Tax collectors were Jews who were hired by Rome to collect the taxes. Jews hated Rome, and they hated tax collectors. You think you dislike the IRS. If anybody has ever been on the phone with the IRS, I have. You're on hold forever, and the person that you talk to is not the person you're going to talk to the next time. And what one person tells you, the other person may not. I've been on the phone with the IRS. I do not hate the IRS. They do wonderful things, but they can be frustrating. Pastor Tim, you used to work for the IRS. Come on. Look what God can do with a man. He's a minister of the gospel now. You probably, just as long as I've got the spotlight on you. Pastor Tim, were you ever told where to shove things?
Absolutely.
Were you ever told in words that you didn't use in church?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you know how much people hate the IRS.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the way they hated Levi. And here's Jesus to this very despised individual saying, come follow me. Levi takes him at his word. Listen what happens. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything and followed him. And then later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors, oh boy, those are people that I really loved, and other guests also ate there. But the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. And I love the way the New Living translate this, because I think it brings such power to these words. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Oh. I'm not sure if the Bible could probably translate that with the power that the disdain that they felt for the people that were eating and drinking with Jesus. Scum. Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. And actually, he was getting in a little dig, because the religious leaders were not willing to admit that they needed to repent. Why do you eat and drink with such scum? Number three, to those considered by others to be the worst or scum, you are welcome. Jesus comes for those who are sick. Have you ever felt like scum? Do you feel like scum? Maybe you put on a good front, but in your quietest moments, you feel like scum. Jesus says, oh, please come, you are welcome. be my disciple. Let me show you what I can do. Jesus loves you just the way you are. But hear this next thing. Jesus also loves you enough not to let you remain the way you are. Jesus loves you just the way you are. And you can come to him, whether you feel unclean, whether you feel sinful, whether you feel like scum, you can come to him. But he loves you enough to not let you remain just the way you are. That's the good news. Jesus says, you're welcome. As we wind this down, does any one of these describe how you feel today? You walked in today and you know that you're a sinner. I want to say, you're welcome. You're welcome here. Jesus loves you. He wants to forgive you and come and live within you. Or today you might say, oh, I just feel so unclean. Jesus does not shy away from your uncleanness. He wants to embrace you, to welcome you, and to make you clean. Or you feel like, or you've been told that you're the worst, that you're scum. I thought that testimony when that judge looked at that woman, that broken woman, and said, you are worthless. I wasn't sure where to use the video, at this point or at the other point. I just left it there. But he made her feel probably the way she already felt. She didn't feel like scum before. She certainly did when a judge said, you are a worthless human being. But oh, the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. James, I'm going to pick on you. I picked on Tim for a while. Some of you might have been here when James shared his testimony of what his life was like when he was addicted to heroin. Did you ever feel like scum? When did it stop? Said he absolutely felt like scum. And when he decided to let God work in his life, God takes the lowest of the low and can work and lift that person up if you'll allow him to work in your life. As the team comes back to the platform, they're going to lead us in a song to remind us of the great love of Jesus. But that's the good news this morning. You are welcome no matter who you are. Now, church, I want to challenge you. Many of you have walked with God. The things I described, you don't feel worthless anymore. You don't feel unclean. You know that your sins have been taken care of. But here's what I want to ask you. People of God, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Do people feel the welcome of Jesus when they're around you and I? There's something about how we encounter people, let them know, you're welcome. Because if Jesus welcomed people and Jesus lives inside of us, shouldn't that be? And I've come to this conclusion. If churches don't feel welcoming, it's probably because we as individuals don't feel welcoming. Because if we as individuals have it in our heart that we welcome the lost, the broken, the sinner, the unclean, the scum, then our churches in which we worship in will be places that welcome the sinner, the unclean, or those that feel like scum. They say, oh, Pastor, you're getting pretty personal. Listen, I've been dealing with this myself. Do people feel welcomed around me? Be my desire. That doesn't mean I'm going to enable bad behavior, but do they feel welcome? Because anybody who has come from a place of feeling unclean, anybody who has come from a place of feeling like scum has had somebody probably make them feel the way that Jesus made people feel in the New Testament. The lady I spoke about earlier in the message had the abortion. Possible she had two. I never did find out. Didn't need to know. She took a big risk in telling her pastor that. And I'm pretty sure that what she found was, listen, you're welcome here. You're welcome. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are welcome. I had a man in a church who, he wrestled with alcohol. You talked about alcohol. He wrestled with alcohol. He never felt worthy enough to be water baptized because he was never able to get control. I said, it's not about being worthy. All you're doing is making a public profession of what Jesus has done in your life. And he said, oh, Pastor, I'm just not good enough. And as much as I tried to communicate, no, you're welcome. And he did feel welcome in the church. He did feel welcome. But it was like somehow or other, Jesus was not going to be pleased with him until he got on top of this. That's the enemy. That's the enemy lying to you. That's the enemy lying to you, keeping you from the graces of God. Jesus says, you're welcome. Come, be my disciple. Come, let me work with you. I love that man. He loved me, loved the church. But at least during my time pastoring that church, I was never able to water baptize him because he just kept believing the lie that he wasn't good enough. Ever run across someone that you invite to church? I have this happen from time to time. I don't know if any of you guys up here have had it happen. Rob, you probably have. They say, oh, I can't come in your church. The roof would fall in, and I know you don't want the insurance claim. Oh, I couldn't do this because, you know, lightning would strike the building. What they're basically saying is, I don't think I'll be welcomed by God or welcomed by the people. Or they're just using it as a good excuse. But I think some honestly feel that God would not want him, not until they get themselves all cleaned up. Another lie of the enemy. You don't get cleaned up first. You come to Jesus and let him embrace you. He'll walk you through the process. I don't know. It's pretty easy, right, LaVon? I mean, oh, come on, LaVon. Look, I'm looking at you. That had to have been an easy process for you. Look, you're just glowing with the love of Jesus. Wasn't easy. But it was worth it. Thank you. I'm glad she added that on there so I didn't have to add it for her. The song we're going to close with this morning talks about the love of God. I love this song. If you don't know it, then just follow the words on the screen. Let it get into your hearts. If you do know it, remind yourself about Jesus' love. Would you stand and follow as Jenny and the team lead us?
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.